Oh, wow. We're here.
We made it just barely.
According to Laura, she stopped checking at 11:30, so we're in just under the wire. We went live about 3 minutes ago, so we're good.
And immediately lost all audio.
Sorry about that.
You didn't see it, Tim, but when I posted in the Practically Pastoring group, I said we are doing the virtual live thing today. So come see what stops working. See what's going to break live. And sure enough, it happened.
It's scary how right you are.
Yeah. Tim, I noticed you updated your background a little bit there. There's no more Mickey ears.
I took down the Mickey ears. I knew we were going to be mobile broadcasting today from our home offices. Well, my home office. You're still at the church.
I'm at church.
But
I am a dutiful employee, pastor, leader. My people need to see me, Tim.
Andrew, the last time the Jacksonville Jaguars were 6-2 was 1999. I was 12 years old.
I was in high school, so.
My son is now 12 years old, so we had a great father-son moment this morning. I just said, bud, I was your age when this happened, so soak it in, because you might not see this again until you're 36
until your mid-30s.
With five kids. Like, this could be it, buddy.
Well, it could be, but at the same time, yesterday was Sunday.
And this is the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Well, good morning, friends, Timmy, family.
I got daring. I pulled my microphone back while the title was running.
Please
and
be careful.
It didn't break. It did not break, so I think we're good.
I've told Andrew not to touch anything. I think he's having a bit of a cable issue this morning. Just be gentle. That's all I'm saying.
It's been a wild morning already, Tim. You are in a great mood. 6-2. I actually won a fantasy game.
Wow.
I love me some Kirk D. Cousins, unless he's got 18 points in the first half against me. And then I'm like, man, something's got to be done about this guy.
And then he gets hurt.
Then he gets really hurt, like end of the season hurt. So I feel bad. That's on me.
That's not good. You can call Kirk. You can apologize. I might be winning both of my fantasy games. We'll see. I need 16 points tonight from two Detroit Lions players. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, it's a possibility, Tim. I'm cheering for you. I'm with you. I hope it happens.
Well, you know, there's another something happening in the sports where it's tough that the World Series is in the middle of the NFL season. I keep up with the score.
Listen,
it's hard to watch the games because
I've been watching. And it's nice because they're a little bit later because they're, you know, Eastern, and then it's
true.
Phoenix Mountain time zone or, you know, Central. So it's been exciting. Extra innings in game one, blowout in game two. Oh, we'll take it. Exciting stuff. Hey, I would say go Rangers, but there's way too many former Rays playing for Arizona. But
oh, yeah, for sure.
I want it to be fun. I want fun and exciting games, and that's what we're getting. So we'll take it. Timmy, how was your birthday week, buddy?
Well, it was our birthday week, as in we both celebrated birthdays the exact same week. We had a multi-day celebration over here. There was a small family gathering on my actual B-day. My wife and I went out that night. Get this, Dr. Larson, I dropped my kids off at youth group and then went out to eat with my wife. When is the last time we were able to say we did that?
Never.
Not this year. I know that for sure.
But that also gives you like an hour and a half long window to be done, right? Did you have to pick them up?
I did, but we dropped them off at 6 because they let students come in 30 minutes early. And it's not over until 8:30. So 6:30 to 8:30 is our normal runtime. So we had time to kill because the dinner was quick.
Gotcha. Well,
so we did the dinner out. It was a ton of fun. And then we went over to a place I have never been before. I knew Tiger Woods had designed the putt-putt course, but I hadn't been yet. So we went over to Pop Stroke, and I immediately texted.
Pretty fancy.
I texted all my home group dads because we've been looking for something to do, and I found it. Like, this is, like, between the ping pong and the cornhole and the foosball and the putt-putt and the food, like,
it's very fancy.
You pay one price and you play as much golf as you want. You can play, you could go over in the morning, you could putt-putt, you could go out to lunch, you could come back, you could putt-putt, you could eat dinner, you could do an entire day there. 36 holes.
I bet you that Tiger Woods guy's going to make some money off of this.
Have you been?
No.
Are you a putt-putt fan?
Sure.
Who's not?
I mean,
if you could work anywhere, like if you weren't pastoring, wouldn't you want to work at a putt-putt golf course?
Oh, we talk all the time about how if we ever move to Arkansas where my in-laws are, we are starting a putt-putt place behind the ice cream shop that they own because the nearest putt-putt place to them is more than 2 hours in any direction. And so we figured we would just make a killing because
insane.
Who doesn't love a little bit of putt-putt? Some putt-putt, some video games, like to the point that, Tim, we have looked up the cost of custom putt-putt plans and installation. That's how much my family has talked about.
You might want to call PopStroke because it could be quite the hit.
It'd be great. It'd be great. Except PopStroke is like real grass, like actual greenskeepers and stuff. No, we would not do that in Arkansas.
It's turf. It's all turf.
Oh.
Yes.
Not even cool.
But it's very cool. It looks very fancy. CJ's wondering if I lost the Disney room. No. And I'm guessing my wife isn't watching right now because for the last 30 minutes, I was taking down all the Disney things and put up all the Jaguar things I could find. She will see it when she gets home, and she's going to love it.
She's going to be thrilled. She loves it.
Adam Power says, Doctor, I see you, Andrew. It's Dr. Larson to you, Adam Powers.
Adam, I did not do that. That's Timothy. That is Tim Miller.
What? Jerry says, I didn't complete my doctorate. That you did. If I ever left ministry, it would be for a job designing mini golf courses. You and Tiger, Jerry, could work side by side. Jerry and Tiger? Sounds like an ice cream flavor.
Wasn't that like one of the Windows 95 or Windows Vista built-in games where you could design putt-putt courses?
So
that was great. I loved it. It was just fabulous. Tim, my family, we did not do the big thing because my wife is a public school teacher at Safety Harbor Elementary School about a block away from where we are right now. And it was their annual fall fest for the school and the community. So thousands and thousands of people. So the big joke for us and our group of people was that we had rented all these bounce houses and dunk tanks and things like that just to celebrate my birthday. So I spent my birthday evening watching my children either celebrate at their alma mater for the two that are no longer at the elementary school or just go nuts there. It's crazy how many kids come back. We were at Chick-fil-A before, and there was a high school senior working at Chick-fil-A who was so excited to get off of his shift because he was going back to Safety Harbor Elementary School for the Fall Fest that night. It is just about the biggest show in town.
Andrew, I tried to be a great friend. I reminded everybody on Facebook and social media land, Dr. Larson hates Facebook messages, but he loves text messages.
Love them all equally.
Did you get a few extra text messages from people you didn't know?
I got so many text messages from people I didn't know.
You didn't tell me? I didn't know if my evil plan worked at all.
Yeah,
I thought you were celebrating so hard. Weekend.
It was a busy weekend, so like every time I got one, I'd be like, oh, I got to tell Tim. But we were in the middle of doing something, and so I never told you. Now, I'm assuming that you're not the person that has also signed my phone up for every political campaign in America to text.
Somebody loves
because
you.
Because somebody I got 12 really text messages you. This morning. Not cool, not whoever did that. Like everybody from every spectrum, anywhere on the political spectrum. I get text messages, except they're all addressed to someone whose name is not Andrew. So I will say that whenever I'm really bad at knowing what their phone number is.
Whenever I do like a ministry thing and I have to sign up, I never put my email address. I put your email address because I don't want the spam, but I want to get whatever the freebie is. So I put your email address in because that's
what
friends
do. Levi Lusco emails me 3 times a week because of you. Because you wanted
every time I get something from Levi, I think, wow, I bet Andrew got 3 times as many things from Levi.
Yes. I mean, multiple times a week I get something from him. Hey, this is the biggest thing we've ever done. You can't say it's the biggest thing you've ever done every time, Levi.
It doesn't make sense. It can't always be the biggest thing unless you're always one-upping yourself, in which case I'm exhausted. I'm just tired.
I'm exhausted just keeping the status quo. I don't want to one-up myself ever.
Jerry says, that's why are terrible. Churches doing their outreaches not on October 31st? I don't know, Jerry. Maybe they want to go trick-or-treating with their kids.
We don't do anything as a church. We did my first couple years here. We put a bounce house in the parking lot. We had a guy who was here who owned a party rental company, so that just worked out well. But on Main Street, a block away, the whole town shuts down and everybody comes out. And so our outreach is, well, we could either shut down our parking lot and make it so that there's no parking for anybody downtown, or we can say, hey, come one, come all to our parking lot and let's partner with the city. So that's what we do.
John has boycotted all things Halloween. So they're just don't even think about celebrating in their neighborhood. CJ says our town does a huge thing downtown on Halloween night. All the businesses hand out candy. You get bags full. It would be impossible for us to get volunteers on. So Safety Harbor, similar it. With that small town
same,
feel.
Same kind of thing. And just embrace what the town is doing.
I hear this, and we've talked about this before. This kind of argument every year. You know, should we not? Should Christians boycott Halloween? Should we not celebrate? My argument here is, I don't know of any other time during the year where I can go outside for 2.5-3 hours and talk to all of my neighbors at the same time.
Yeah,
now, I walk my dog every night. I see a lot of my neighbors on a regular basis, but for everyone at the same time to have a little community and to talk to each other, and for the kids to be silly.
It's not going to happen any other time.
Now, could it be dark and demonic and scary and really bad? Yes. We were walking into PetSmart, and there was a couple in their Halloween costume, and my daughter said, Daddy, why is she in her underwear? Right? That would probably be a good example of a not so good side.
Yeah. You could get shot in Ybor City at a Halloween party.
That was scary.
Listen.
That was not
if you're good. 14. If you're a 14-year-old at a nightclub at 3 a.m., yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yikes. So there's that side of Halloween. Yeah. Also, has there been any pressure on Lakeview? Hey, you guys could do an awesome like hayridey thing the lake.
We've done all of it. The last big shebang we did was 2019. We had a ton of people out, but it's a lot of work. You have to plan this out for 6 to 9 months. You have to have a team together. So could we pull it off? Sure. It would take the right people to do it. But we have shifted our efforts to an Advent something this year. It's very, very special. It'd be very, very big. So that's where, I mean, we've already had three full-on planning sessions just for the Advent social.
I don't think the church Halloween outreaches. Ooh, I just moved my computer. That was exciting. I don't think the church Halloween outreaches move the needle really when it comes to reaching new people. I think so many people know, hey, I can hit up every church in town and get all the things, but I don't think anybody is showing up to your trunk or treat to say, I've been meaning to check out a new church, and you did give my kid a king-size Twix bar, so I'll be here on Sunday.
That's a pretty good deal. You're going to have king-size candy. That might be guaranteed at least 1 week.
No, we gave out.
It never does.
My big thing when we were doing it up big with the trick or treat on Main Street, we did what was like the pick me game that sidekick.
Oh yeah, DYM. Or, yeah, it was great. So good.
We would play that game, and there would be Starbucks gift cards and, you know, full size candy bars and all kinds of stuff. We would have a line 20 kids deep at our table when nobody else on Main Street had more than two or three, and we'd be handing out invitations. You know, hey, here's what we're doing starting this week at church. And in like 5 years, we saw zero visitors from that, but we spent thousands of dollars doing it. And so it was kind of decided a couple years ago, why? Partner with the city. Let's participate. Mm-hmm. Let's cheer on the city, but
I think that is a wise move. John says, look, fall festivals are one thing. Celebrating a pagan holiday is another.
I mean,
Andrew, you and I both grew up in Christian schools. We had many, many friends who, like, weren't allowed to talk about Halloween because,
well, I grew up at the Independent Fundamentalist Baptist Church that always had the whatever it was on Halloween night, so we weren't allowed to do, and, you know, it was, if the church doors were open, we were there, so I remember coming home with my little paper lunch bag with, like, three Tootsie Pops in it. And all of my friends down the street with their entire pillowcases full of candy and just being so bitter. so angry.
I'd be mad about that.
I think, yeah, I think there are lots of levels to how you participate and lots of levels to have some wisdom as well. So,
I mean, you could always celebrate Reformation Day. I mean, it's...
Hey, my favorite professor of all time had his Reformation Day post up this morning. I saw as we were
starting to share
stuff and get ready. I haven't yet. I will.
Could you hit that share button? Because I will also hit that share button. CJ says, I've been here 5 months. Sorry, Andrew, that's right over your face. Our fall festival and Trunk or Treat was a great opportunity to meet some friends and family. Others, we're going to revamp it next year towards a more fall festival with opportunities for volunteers to interact with people than just put something in a bag. Yeah, I get that. But hey, tweak it, make it better. Have a great event.
I think a trunk or treat would not work in our space. We don't have the parking lot for it.
We could pull it off easily.
You guys could. You guys could use one of the football fields that you removed a building for and then cancel the football league. You could use that space.
Andrew, we removed buildings because my campaign was putting the lake back in Lakeview, if you remember correctly.
You removed you buildings because people lake. Because people were falling through the floors.
That too.
They were.
I would tell people where I worked, and they'd say, "Oh, you're the church with the portables." That just didn't sit well with me. I'm not against portables, but when it's what you're known for, I'm like, we have 36 acres and an amazing lake view. We are not the church with the portables. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry says, I love the view of the lake at Lakeview Church. See?
But do you remember there's the one room that you literally couldn't have people go into it because they would fall through the floor?
There's multiple rooms. That was great. Towards the end, there were multiple rooms you could not step foot in because it was a child death trap.
It's almost as if those are meant to be a temporary solution and not to be there for 20 plus years.
It's possible.
Weird. Weird how that works.
Andrew, walk me through your Sunday. Did you guys... You wrapped up your
we
Elijah.
Wrapped up our Habakkuk series. Habakkuk. Elijah and Elisha was the last one.
So Elijah, Elisha followed up with what? 3 weeks Habakkuk, in Habakkuk.
4 weeks in Habakkuk.
You did a whole month,
which is funny because there's three chapters. We did 4 weeks, but we're also doing 4 weeks in Philippians starting next week, which is also four chapters. So it's funny how that works because you're doing what? 8 weeks, 12 weeks in Philippians.
It's not even enough. Like I'm having to, like I'm like walking through it. I'm like, oh boy, like if we really wanted to spend time here, this, it should probably be 16 weeks.
I think.
But we'll probably, I think we'll do it in 10 to 12 weeks.
I think 10 or 12 verses is the sweet spot for me. I like there to be.
Well, that's what this is. The 12 weeks, I think is like 12 verses a week, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's the sweet spot. I don't like the. So this week we were wrapping up, and like the closing thought of Habakkuk was four verses, and that was too short of a passage, I think, for me. But we wrapped it up. Tim, I got to church a little bit early yesterday morning, and I was getting everything set up.
Laura says you might have dealt with a mini plague. What's happening here?
Tim.
You haven't told me nothing.
I haven't told you nothing. We talked about the other duties as assigned in our little blurb that we put out at the beginning.
Yep.
At, I don't know, 9:45, we were walking out, you know, just a couple people in the room, and Cheryl, one of our worship leaders, looks down and says, what is that?
Oh, no.
There was a fist-sized dead toad underneath one of the chairs. I have no idea how it got in the room, but it was huge, and naturally, I was the one to deal with it. I picked it up and full rigor had set in, and it was I'm guessing it had come in last Sunday when the doors were open and had somehow successfully hidden, and then it was, you know, all just dead and dehydrated. So like as people are filing into the worship center, I'm scrubbing my hands of all the toad poison, and the thing was huge. It was easily the size of my fist. And part of me was like, man, what would happen if we just would have left it and someone would have sat there and like put their purse underneath? But we didn't. I got it. It was a big toad, and I picked it up and I threw it away.
Was it a cane toad? John said that can be a very invasive species. You might want to make sure they're not multiplying over there.
I don't know what it was. I think it used to be green, but now it was kind of brown because it had been dehydrated by being in there for a week.
CJ says, what is God telling you to let go of?
Yeah, I don't know. Something. I think maybe it's the PowerPoint. What are you holding on to? He wants us to move on to Pro Presenter, and he's going to send us, you know, just
mini plagues. Time to let go of PowerPoint. These plagues will get worse. I've read a few stories, yeah. And you might not like the last one. I would say go ahead and make that move over to Pro Presenter.
Yeah, well, like, once we get to the darkness, then I'll be like, okay, it's time. But when it's as for the toads, the gnats would be equally annoying. I don't want boils. No. If I could stay away from any kind of boils or shingles, anything like that, that'd be good.
I would say don't lick them. John's reminding us that they do secrete a poison, and if a dog licks it,
I was scrubbing my hands up to my elbows just to try to, I didn't want to get sick. Tim, I was in my office updating on my computer our Restream stuff, and I checked in on Lakeview. You were making announcements during first service. You said there's a special guest in the room, and then your live stream cut out there during first service. Did you know this?
No. What happened?
I don't know if it came back or not, but I'm sure you would have gotten
After Sam's announcement, everything was running. So maybe something happened when he gave his announcement.
It was so I assumed that's who you were talking about. No. You said there's a special guest in the room, and then it just went black. And I refreshed. I watched that minute and 14 seconds again, and I got nothing. And I, of course, meant to text you, but then life happened, and I didn't.
We had a very special guest return. Sam Rudkin, one of my elders, who – I mean,
he's not actually a guest. He's a church member and an elder.
He's not just a member. He's an elder. But he was down for the count. He had his chest cavity ripped open. He had multiple bypasses on his heart. And he was back on Sunday. I don't even know how he did it. I had to hide him in our little green room kitchen area because people were bombarding him. I said, Sam, are you okay? And he's like, I don't know. And someone tried to give him like the big man like chest hug. Ooh, I'm like, no. Like he still has like stitches and
there's still staples and sutures.
Yes.
In there.
So I hid him in the back. I made the announcement that Sam's here this morning, and he came out and actually gave the rest of announcements and then delivered like the most endearing of thank yous, where I don't know that people typically cry during the welcome, but it was, I mean, there were a lot of not so dry eyes in the room.
I never cried during the welcome.
It was very, very sweet. Maybe, he did a great
maybe,
job.
Maybe next week. Tim, something else we put in the show notes that I think needs to be discussed before
Richard's wondering if we've already talked about Bible Gateway.
No.
I'm wondering why you hate it, because I use it to copy and paste text into my sermon manuscript every week.
That's what I use it for.
Yeah.
And that's why it's terrible. Some websites you get the, this website is taking up more energy than others, and your fan kicks on and stuff.
Yes.
And it used to be that I'd have Bible Gateway open for 15, 20 minutes before that would start happening. And now I get through one copy and paste, and my computer fan is going at full speed, and it'll only let me copy one verse or so at a time before I start pinwheeling. And everything is updated. My cookies have been eaten. My cache has been cleared. I don't know what else I need to do. And it's only on Safari. Mm. So some websites just like sell more ad space than others, and that's what does it? Because it seems to me that it's Bible Gateway.
I'm relieved that it's not the content on Bible Gateway, because I thought the content on there is just fine.
So
the website itself is what you're upset about.
Yes, the ads and the energy usage on the website is
the
driving
ads are
me nuts.
Annoying. I'll give you that. The ads can be annoying. I will say it, Logos, if you're running Logos software online, it is a mammoth, and you can't have that open for very long. That will eat up everything. But I use that for sermon prep too.
The thing that's so frustrating, and you know, maybe the ads are tailored to me, but there's always the Dallas Seminary ads on Bible Gateway, and I'm like, go away. I don't need you anymore. Like, and that's the ad that's always running all the extra energy. I'm like, okay. Why are they marketing this to me? I've already gone. Quit. Just let me copy and give me a plain text-based Bible.
I guess they didn't know. Maybe they don't know.
They didn't know. For Google that knows everything else there is to know about me.
Richard says, is your computer an Apple computer?
Apple computer. So not an issue in Chrome when I'm on Bible Gateway. Huge issue on Safari.
Got to be a Safari issue.
So, yeah.
Have you updated your Safari to the latest Safari? Because I had to do that, and that helped a lot of things.
Maybe that's what I need to do.
That could be it.
I guess.
Are you at the age now where you're now calling someone younger than you to help fix your tech problems? It's like, is your son coming in the room to restart your phone for you when it's acting up?
No, I've got all that stuff figured out. It's just this. It's only Bible Gateway that does this to me. No other website will behave this way.
John says ChatGPT can write your entire sermon for you. Sounds like you need a nice new gaming laptop so you can run that website.
I guess so. Makes sense.
I have done the ChatGPT write this sermon just out of curiosity. Like, the outlines are not bad.
The outline's fine. The actual paragraphs never come out of my mouth.
But the outlines, and you could also have ChatGPT help you with song selection. Like, for ideas for songs, I have asked for, give me 15 hymns based on, John 12, or 15 modern day worship songs, and then we can kind of like go just from
there.
That's
a good idea.
It's not bad.
We've had a conversation with some of our pastor buddies about using ChatGPT to write discussion questions based on a sermon manuscript dropped into ChatGPT. I think that's kind of a good idea.
I've done the sermon. What I do is I ask for small group questions based on, and then I insert the text, like the actual Bible text, like John 16, 1 through whatever. And it does a phenomenal job with that. Even like down to make sure you have closing prayer requests. I'm like, wow, okay. But if you're according to Jerry, AI content is garbage, and it should never help you write small group questions.
Well,
sorry, Jerry.
There you go. That's what Jerry says. So we're gonna affirm him. And
speaking
and
of hymns,
him
John has an elderly neighbor looking for an old school hymnal. We actually, dude, we had a lot at Lakeview. I think we donated them.
Don't they all say Lakeside Presbyterian Church on them?
Yeah.
They're like, embossed.
John,
gold.
I might have saved a couple for my own library, but there might be some at Safety Harbor too.
I would say I have one hymnal here in my office.
I would need more than one. I couldn't give it up.
I would say it's the one that I have in my office. It's a treasure. Please hold. Please hold.
Where is mine? Well, looks like Andrew's left us. Oh, he's back.
Here is my hymnal that I will treasure forever because it was just placed into my backpack.
It's a CCC.
During one of my last chapels as a senior in college. So it's the Clearwater Christian College.
What hymn is on page 275? Page 2.
Well,
please,
but here's.
Please
here's
turn
the thing.
In your
it
hymnals.
It has the official college hymn glued into the front. So that's pretty important.
Wow. And then if we turn to page 275, if the congregation would please turn in their hymnals to page 275, we're going to be singing the first verse, last verse, and chorus.
266 was Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling. That's a good one.
That's a good post sermon if you're doing an altar call. That could work.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
275, Come We That Love the Lord, never heard it.
You've never heard it. You've probably heard it.
Written in 1867.
Jerry says, remember when people read music and sang different parts like alto, tenor, etc. when singing? I do remember that. It was very, very pretty. CJ's wife's uncle
as a natural baritone, I'm very familiar.
Andrew, get this. A 164-year-old King Jimmy sits in a box in my office. CJ, you're going to take a picture of that and send it. We would love to see that. There's a few Bible nerds that we know that would probably really love to see that.
I have my grandfather, who died when my dad was 8 years old. I have his Sunday school Bible that was presented to him like when he was going from 5th to 6th grade.
Richard says they still use 164-year-old King James Bibles at his church. Oh, maybe he means they still sing in the parts.
I was going to say, I don't think he means the King James Bible. that was a beautiful time in society when people could look at sheet music and just be able to read it. I dabble. Give me a piano that has middle C highlighted on it, and I can figure it out eventually. It's going to take me a minute.
I remember when I made the shift from KJV, our church went from King James to, can you see that? That's NASB.
NAS.
New American, the New American Standard. I got this in 2004. And my mom reminded me, Andrew, are you ready for this reminder? Remember, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book.
That was
Mom,
deep.
If you're watching, you know, still love this Bible. 2004. What else you got?
I mean, if we're playing this game, this is my my Johnny Mac from my Grams upon my
That's good.
Upon my college graduation.
Yes.
Every so this one was, you know, May 7th, 2005.
Yep.
Upon college graduation, I have another I was surprised pleasantly to get that from her because it was a New King James Version, mm-hmm. and she was a KJV kind of lady. But I have a Ryrie Study Bible that I got from her in high school.
Wow.
But the first, my first ever, you know, real leather-bound Bible was also from her and somewhere behind me. And that one, the inscription says, read a psalm every day to be wise, or read a proverb every day to be wise and a psalm every day to be sweet.
Wow.
So my Grams.
The women in our lives must really love us to gift us Bibles with really great quotes in them. Speaking of great, Jerry says the word hymnal is an amazing word to use when playing hangman.
Ah.
Hymnal.
There you go.
I could see that because really there's only one vowel and you pretty much use the entire arsenal of vowels right off the bat to get those out of the way. And you could practically hang your guy by the time you get to it.
It'll be my go-to word as long as I'm not playing against someone from the Morning After community.
John says they knew y'all needed it. Yes, we, in fact, we all need our Bibles. We all need our Bibles every single day.
Don't we all?
Hey, Jerry, do a great job. Jerry's headed to speak at Middle School Chapel. We love you, Jerry.
Or a Multiple Sclerosis Chapel.
That's not what that means. That's not what that means.
You don't know. There's a
Jerry, are you going to the hospital or are you going to a school? Either way,
are you going to do 6th, 7th, and 8th graders? Okay. Tim, that's so stupid.
That is very dumb.
And yet we're still laughing at it. Timmy, you are continuing the worship director search. You told me to put that in the notes. I have no idea what's going on with you guys.
Hey, the worship director search continues at Lakeview Church. We haven't been in limbo because we have a great team in place right now that's just been doing an awesome job. So it's been kind of an interesting situation where it's like, you know, we're not in dire need where we're like, we need resumes now. So when a resume comes in,
you're not playing YouTube videos of motion backgrounds.
Yeah, no, nothing like, you know, youth group from the mid 2000s or something like that. Like we have a great team. They can lead. We have multiple people on the team that can lead. So we have our next search team meeting. And I feel bad about this because we haven't actually had a search team meeting in 2 months. So I've emailed here and there, but not an official meeting. So we're having an official meeting on Thursday just to talk through a few developments. There may or may not be two or potentially three resumes that I have received. So
I thought we were friends. You haven't filled me in on any of this.
Very recent. I'm talking like within the last 48 hours.
Okay.
So just praying through what that could look like at Lakeview Church. But what's been awesome is we've had a great team that's just held it down for 9, 10, I mean, going on 11 months, which is just crazy. Yeah. They're doing a great job.
Yeah.
So it's allowed us to move slowly, which I told the team back in July, this is not going to be a quick process. We're going to take our time here. So here we are. I mean, it's, you know, we're 2 or 3 months into the search process, but we've been without
the worship
staff
leader.
Yeah, without an official staff member. We currently pay Jamie, who's doing an incredible job and he's holding it down. So
Large Bass.
He's been awesome. Dude, he's just doing such a great job.
I love him. He's a good dude. Timmy, what cabling were you running? You mentioned something to me about that this week as well.
Other duties as described, as needed. That's in both of our job descriptions. Well, we are.
Sometimes it means we get toads out of the worship center.
And sometimes it means having to run cable through conduit that is 25 years old. So you have to call professionals to come bring in their tools to actually get the cable run. The idea is simple. We need to make the student center user-friendly. There's too many ministries using the space. And for the tech to be almost all wireless, Like the whole, like, you're going to have to restart that every time. That may or may not work. Try restarting this. Like, it's become annoying. Some of our ministry leaders have just, like, they've given up. They're like, we're just not even going to use the system. Like, that's not what we want. Like, we want to make this.
Well, and you're not officing there either. So it's not like they can come over and grab you. Like, hey.
Right.
Because if you were there, it would take you 30 seconds to fix it.
Back in the day, that was my, you know, my second job, basically. It was part of my job. Yeah. I would help out ministries who were using the space, make sure the video's running, the audio sounds good, everything's smooth. But with me not being there Monday through Friday, that makes it tough. So I've fielded a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages, people, and then some of them get very frustrated, and rightfully so. They have things they want to show and listen to, and they aren't able to. So we have a great sound system in there, but we need to make it user-friendly. So we called some AV professionals I'm very good friends with, Audi Pros. You probably know them too. And they came over, did a great job. And it's almost there. So I told our Kidsmen director this weekend, we are very, very close for this space to be very user-friendly. So hopefully very soon.
So what do you guys, what are you putting in? Is it going to be like when you go into a hotel room and there's just like the HDMI plug-in in the wall that you know it'll work? Or
we already have that in there for the projector, so that works. We're no longer going to be running a wireless system to the computer. It'll be wired into the board. We got a new user-friendly board. The iPad board was tough because the iPad wouldn't always connect to the board. So we got a new physical board. We ran the line under the stage, under the ground, all the way to the back of the tech booth. So that way it's going to be nice and easy. You can have someone in the tech booth running a physical board that just works because it's plugged in. So it'll make everyone's life easier.
Did you have like the little magnet going across the ground in the student center to get the cable to go from the stage?
They were so jammed because when they previously ran cables.
Because cables were thicker 25 years ago.
And they were jammed in there because there was not just one, there was over 20 inside of a 1-inch conduit. So thankfully, the guys we had come out, they had the tools, they had the gear. What would have taken me and other guys a few hours, they did.
You would have been so sweaty.
It would have been bad. And we have some other AV stuff that I picked their brains on, including potentially, they're currently installing at a church in our area that you know well. They're installing their new LED wall. So I said, I have heard the cost of those LED walls have come down. What would it cost a certain Lakeview church to have an LED wall or two installed? So they're coming out tomorrow to give me a quote on that.
So would you put that above the windows behind the stage? Glass doors?
Yeah, the idea would be to replace the two 80-inch TVs with two 10 to 12 foot LED walls.
Could have some Mario Party tournaments
in there.
You could
have some serious Mario Party. My original idea was actually a 35 foot LED wall, just one giant one, but I think that might be a bit extreme.
That might be a bit much.
But we're going to repurpose the 80 inches because the 80 inch TVs can go to the back wall as confidence monitors.
Mm-hmm.
So as of 2 weeks ago, we no longer have music stands on stage. So we eliminated all music stands. We bought everybody. Everybody has an iPad. Everybody has their songs on the iPad.
One 80-inch TV on the back wall, and then another one where you have a flight simulator room, and it could just be the cockpit view in your flight simulator. Just something to think about while you're doing ridiculous things with God's money. Whatever.
Boy.
Whatever.
I will say the elimination of music stands, like when you have the windows behind people and no more giant barriers, like it does wonders on the stage. It's clean. It's not a mess.
It's prettier.
It's so pretty.
I love it.
Ronald says always helps to be able to see the screen. That's kind of the trick. If you're in the back, it can sometimes be tough to see those screens. So I get it. We're going to help there. Hopefully. Really, really soon. Ronald says getting rid of the music stands does make a huge difference. Thank you. Look at this. I feel so encouraged today.
You should feel. It's almost like his job is to encourage pastors. Weird. But then when you like need to speak and you're not at your regular spot and you go to grab a music stand and you can't find one,
that's
always frustrating.
That can be very frustrating. Thankfully, we have music stands.
You probably have 30 of them in a closet.
They're somewhere. John says no audio in the men's room. John, I thought about that too. We put a nice Apple HomePod speaker in the women's room, and this thing is awesome. And we're streaming, you know, the live stream service audio directly into that room, so that way there's crystal clear audio. We just didn't put one in the men's room, so we're going to get another one maybe this week, John. We'll stream it to both rooms.
So, John, what Tim is saying is that you're okay to use the ladies' room during Sunday morning service.
You've heard it from
your pastor.
Don't you dare.
Tim would prefer.
John, you are a member of the safety team. If you do that, I will have another member of the safety team forcibly remove you.
See, we have the opposite issues with our bathrooms, and it's that
you can probably hear everything.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Except you can't. In the bathroom, there's like the beautiful white noise, and so you think, man, I am in a soundproof box, only you're not. You can hear everything from outside of the bathroom that goes on in the bathroom.
So you're saying that's kind of like when you were in fifth grade, we had portables at my elementary school, and the bathrooms were in the portables, and you would literally hold it all day because you knew if you had to go to the bathroom during class, everyone heard you going to the bathroom during class. It was...
Are they taking
a shower in there? Is there a waterfall in there? Like, what is happening? I refused to use that bathroom.
The episode of Home Improvement where Tim convinced Al that they had constructed a completely soundproof room, and Al was in there screaming, and Tim, and he was like, "Well, I can hear you," and Tim was like, "Think about that," and that's kind of what our bathroom situation is. Every now and then, because we got like industrial toilets installed, they use the city's water pressure to flush. Boy. So it sounds like a jet taking off every time someone flushes. And so every now and then you'll have someone be outside and like hear the bathroom, like hear the flush, but they had just been in there, and like they get this look on their face of, oh no, if I can hear that, does that mean? But here's the weird thing. On the one, there's maybe 4 feet of drywall. So it's the only option that we have is to completely replace the doors with something solid and soundproof, because there's not a whole lot of drywall. I think it's just tile and a very loud flush and a very, you know, it's the honeycomb interior door.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny though.
It only took us 44 minutes to get to the bathroom talk. So that's pretty good for us. That happens. Laura says the jet flush is greater than the questionable flush.
it is impressive. It is so loud. They don't clog. I don't know that we've ever had we've had those in there for, you know, almost a year now. And
they're
either one of them has so nice. Yeah, it is impossible to clog, but boy, can you hear them?
Yeah,
yeah.
Andrew, I need to order
lunch
for my family.
That's all the deep stuff that I have.
We can't continue this conversation.
What are you doing? Because your wife and kids are down here in Safety Harbor.
I've got a sick kid at home, so she's on the couch right now. I need to go check on her. I told my wife I would order her lunch for her if she could pick it up. Normally, I pick up the lunch. So Chick-fil-A mobile ordering makes it very, very simple.
There you go.
But
hey,
I fully plan to be right here next week.
Right there, like in your Jaguar's cave, or here in my office with me?
Well, it's a bye week, so I don't think I'll need to be in the Jaguar's cave. I'll just bring my Jaguar gear to you.
There you go. Hey, we'll see you next week.
All right, boys and girls. We love you.